Hallelujah. James chapter 1. I want to continue looking at trial, understanding divine process, because the seasons that we're in is important for you and I to understand how some things work with respect to God's word. You can be lopsided in your faith if you don't follow the old counsel of God. So there's what you call the old counsel of God. And there's a tendency for us as humans to be lopsided with respect to our understanding of God's word. In other words, there are areas where we're particular and we pay more attention to those areas, so to speak, excite us. And so we unconsciously focus or put more emphasis on that area and neglect other aspects. But there's something about the old counsel of God that enables you and I to spiritually grow. Hallelujah. So in James chapter 1, remember James is an apostle, a foundational apostle. And that's important because remember that when you're reading the epistles, you're reading the explanation of the Holy Scriptures. That means that the thoughts, the scriptures that have been explained are taken from Genesis to Malachi. That's very important because, you know, sometimes we forget that there was no epistle in their days. So the thoughts that they are communicating in these writings are the thoughts that came from the faith walk Christ magnified in the life of the patriarchs. That's important. So Christ was shown, was demonstrated, and was, so to speak, proclaimed in the life of the patriarchs. So the apostles had a particular job. The Spirit of God, which was the promise, the blessing of Abraham, that they now received, now enabled them to now interpret those situations, those experiences properly in the light of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, if you take the light of Christ out, what you have is stories. What you have is stories. For instance, in Genesis chapter 1, again, if you're reading it in story form, you have the story of creation. But the person that wrote the story of creation was Moses. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom and knowledge of the Egyptians. If you're reading Genesis, Exodus chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, you will not really understand that. But you're reading in the book of Acts chapter 7, you will discover that Stephen, in his summary of the scriptures, began to tell us that Moses was mighty in deed and in words. Hallelujah. That means, as expected of a prince of Egypt, you know, he was prince of Egypt. He was what you call heir to the throne in that sense. So Moses was learned in the high, that Egypt was the highest civilization of that day. So he had access to the best education ever. So when you're reading Moses, you're reading a very learned individual. Don't forget that. Not crooked at all. Forget about the 40 years where he was herding sheep. Hallelujah. Remember, he's a very learned individual. So Moses used wisdom. Listen carefully. That when you're reading the same story of creation, when you're looking at physical creation, Moses is weaving into that same story the revelation of Christ. Don't forget that. So again, if you read Genesis 1:1 on the surface, from verse 1 to verse 3, what you will see is the story of a physical world, of physical darkness, and of physical light. But when you read it in light of Christ, you begin to see that the Bible says, in the beginning, God said what? In the beginning, what happened in the beginning? God created the heaven and the earth, and then that doesn't make sense. If God is a perfect God, the next verse says, and the earth was that what? Form and void, and what? That was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God. That can you see Spirit? Can you see Spirit? You can see Spirit. I didn't know. Some people are graced, are gifted. You people see spirits? Someone visited yesterday night. Okay, so, and the Spirit, so notice the writing. And the Spirit of God moved where? Over the face of the waters. So you're still thinking naturally. So there are waters, there's darkness. It was without form and void, that is, without shape, without format. Okay? So then they say, and God said. Well, you just told me the Spirit of God is moving. And God said. So God said is a description of the activity of one who is unseen. When you say the Spirit moved, since you cannot see Spirit, how do you describe His movement? His movement is in what He said. Are you following me this morning? That's important. So now, how do we come to that understanding? By reading the epistles. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. Okay, I've left the passage I want to start with this morning. But this is important. Glory to God. But there's some things we're going to say that you need that background. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 3. But if our gospel be what? Hid. Now, several times in Paul's epistles, he calls the gospel the light of Christ or the light of God. So this is, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are what? Lost. in whom the God of this world, so say there's a God of this age, there is this being who is ruling through sin nature in the hearts of men. Don't forget that. There's a God of this world. Now, pay attention. That particular being, his activities were shrouded in mystery in the Holy Scriptures. So he was walking behind the scenes. He was responsible for destruction. But no one was able to pinpoint him directly because there was no light. Listen carefully. We know there's darkness because there's light. Are you following? We know the importance of light when there's darkness, isn't it? Now, let me ask you, which one gives way? Does light give way to darkness or darkness gives way to light? So, when light came, the first person to categorically describe Satan was Christ. So, here Jesus saying in John 10:10, the thief cometh not, but to what? To steal what my mother did, what my father did. And then the apostles give you a clear instructions about why you should not think that way. Let him ask in faith. What is the faith? The faith is the fact that, notice, what it is in the previous verse. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of who? Of God. That gives to one all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be what? Given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So to waver is against faith. To waver means the wind or the doctrines or the things you've had is affecting your reception. Let another man think he shall receive anything. He didn't say let another man think God shall give him anything. It's not God giving, it's you receiving. That's the problem. So you are wavering because you have listened to all kinds. That's why a believer should be careful about what he hears. You have to be careful about what you pay attention to. You have to be careful. With the measure with which you pay attention to something is a measure of that thing that will get inside your heart. It's important. So sometimes you're listening to things, I like using this illustration. If you go for a meeting, particularly interdimensional meetings, and they raise a prayer point that you know is contrary to your understanding of scriptures, and you say amen, you are dealing with winds of doctrine. If you want to come out of your prison, come out now. If you come out, you're already in prison. No, you're already in prison. Not by the minister, by your admittance. That means it's the wind of doctrine that tells you are bound, even though he has set you free. Hallelujah. Who has delivered us from the authority of darkness? And has what translated us to the kingdom of his where? His dear son. You're already there now. Glory to God. But they just told you are in prison and you accepted it, so you came out. Every wrongdoing of your forefathers, because you are the firstborn. Prayer for firstborns. And the Bible says, we are part of the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. That's what the firstborn you need to know. Forget about the one that comes from natural lineage. People in your father's house may not even be saved, but you are part of the church of the firstborn. Say amen. Can you see that? So now, wrong wind of doctrine, because it is going to hinder you from being consistent and patient in the face of trials. Now, put your hand there. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. We are reading James, isn't it? So let's go to Peter, Apostle Peter. So you see, each of them said it in different ways. 1 Peter 4, look at verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. So he uses the word trial, which is to try you as though something strange is happening. Your uncle's uncle. Your brother-in-law. Your boss at work, the people in your office, think it not strange. See what it says? As though something strange happened unto you. Look at the next verse. It says, but what? Rejoice. What did James just tell you to do just now? What did he just tell you to do just now? He says, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of what? Christ's sufferings. When his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with what? Exceeding joy. Can you see that? So he's telling you, but in your faith, you are a partaker of Christ's sufferings. In other words, the same thing that was depicted through the patriarchs, the part of their suffering for Christ, will be seen in your life. You don't have to do anything to invite opposition. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But that's not the end of that verse. Psalm 34, verse 19. What's the conclusion? But the Lord. Hallelujah. There's always but the Lord. There's always but the Lord. Because we're going to look at the life of a few patriarchs. Because again, In the scriptures, the stories, the instructions, the epistles are an interpretation of the acts of faith and patience through the life of the patriarchs. So when you look at their life, you can see where they portrayed Christ. You can see how certain things happened to them that you can relate with your present day experience. You see how God's faithfulness brought them out so that when challenges arise, you know from their story, your own end is also sure. Romans chapter 15. So I'm quoting those scriptures now so that I won't forget to read them. So as we go through, you and I may have a strong basis. Romans chapter 15. If you hear that, say amen. Verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, that's ahead of time, were written for what? Our learning. Things to learn from. They were written ahead of time for our learning. Ahead means you saw the beginning, you saw the experience, you saw the conclusion. The conclusion was written so that as you see their beginning, you can trace a thread of God's faithfulness to the experience to the very end. In other words, their life, if you pay attention to Christ, we interpret any and everything you're going through. Let me say it again. You know, Luke chapter 1, when the angel came to Mary and he said, "Blessed art thou among women," isn't it? When she got to Elizabeth's house and she prophesied, and he also prophesied, she began to speak forth from henceforth. All what? Generation shall call me blessed. Isn't that? Now, you know when she was saying it, she had not yet conceived. There was no sign. So it was an act of faith. Now, what you didn't see written is how a virgin will be slandered, will be humiliated, will be mocked. How many people do you want to say, "I didn't fornicate, it's of the Holy Ghost"? You know, tell me. Even your trusted partner is thinking, "It's of the Holy Ghost. I see. It's really Holy Ghost." So he planned to privately put her away. I had a message years ago, Bishop T.D. Jakes, "Can you stand to be blessed?" I remember getting the message about 20 years ago. "Can you stand what it means to be blessed?" Now, this man has just been blessed. But look at what the blessing attracted. Jesus was growing up, and people knew that the father and mother didn't come before. She was found with child. That's what she was found with child. And it is God. It is God. So imagine you are going to school. They are calling you the B word. You know the B word? You people don't know the B word. If you don't know, let your mind be disabused. Still don't know. You are going to school. They are calling you, and yet you are divine. And it is God working. And you have to bear it. "Blessed are you among women," is what the angel said. Then she said, "From now, all generations can come." So what it means to be blessed? Suffering is included. It's suffering of faith, because it will take time for justification to show that you are actually of the Holy Ghost. But if you are into immediate explanation, you can't walk with God. You can't walk with God. That's what Peter was saying. Now, look at that verse 4 again. See, "For whatsoever things were written ahead of time were written for our learning, that we through one patience, consistency, and comfort of what the scriptures, we may have an expectation." That means we can see the outcome based on the outcome in life of all the others. There was an eternal outcome. There were temporal outcomes that they enjoyed. In other words, within their time frame and their lives, God showed himself faithful by granting them victories in their day, even though the main victory was Christ risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Are you following? So he says, "So that you through faith and patience of God, you may have." He says, "Now the God of that consistency, the one who gave them that kind of hope and consolation, may he grant you to be like-minded one towards another, according to Christ Jesus." Okay, "that you may be one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I'm going to jump all the way to verse 13. See what it says. "Now the God of that expectation, the God of hope, fill you with what? All joy." And what? "Peace in believing." That means consistency. You stay your ground. You know what the outcome will be. So you are not fretting now. You don't lose your composure now. You don't throw in the towel now. The pressure is mounting. It's not because of any particular sin. If you sin, repent. But because you are in this world and your faith is on the trial, you said you are believing God, you will not cut corners. You say you are believing God, you will not go the way of the others. He says, now the God of that hope, may he fill you with joy and peace as you are believing that you may what? Abound in that supernatural expedition in the power of what? The Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Because in the end, it's too glass. The fresh till the cat to bruche le free tatasite yetia. Angu guge sise fresh te. Le kukunyanta ite. In kukute elegatia. Ekususu suprotila kachte. The word has come. Dew has fallen many times to strengthen hearts, to prepare the saints for the days that are ahead. In this season, you shine as light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So stand your ground and let the complete work of the Holy One show and put it on display that no Gentile may have what to accuse you with. Yea, stand your ground and let that light shine and let the power of God be seen, even the one that justifies, that may justify you in every situation until all that know there is no impotency in the one you serve, for he is the Lord of all impotence. Glory to God. The days are coming. The time is now. The hour is here. Where living right will be a decoration of the grace of God wherever you stand. For men will see the light of Christ shine so brightly. Then they will not mock the miracles. Then they will not mock the utterance. Then they will not mock the testimony that will proceed from your lips. For the time is now to cast off every work of the flesh and of darkness and to stand as true sons and daughters of the light. Glory to God forever. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. Now the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace where in believing that you may abound in hope through the power or in the power of the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5 verse 7. So we see Peter in chapter 4. Don't think it's strange what is to try. Because again, if you don't have, in Pastor Tisha's on here, if you don't have root, every little challenge, you're just doing it well. You hear believers complaining. What kind of material are you made of? What kind of material are you made of? Everything should be rosy, 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 rosy. Then what's your faith for? That's the issue. What's your faith for? Challenges are meant to come. They will come because you're in the world. You are the light that causes darkness to flee. You are that light. Now, if you are light and you're fleeing from darkness, there's a problem. There's a problem. So every single, and that's why the world around you is feeding you information to make you forget the man of man that you are. So that you can join them in mourning and complaining. In Philippians 2 from verse 12, I'm going to come back here now. Philippians 2 from verse 12. The testimonies are, you can find them through verses of scripture. Philippians 2 from verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more where in my absence, do what? Walk out your salvation with one reverence and trembling. It says, for it is God which does one work everywhere in you. So there are things outside. There are things in you. So there are enemies and forces outside. But who is in you? God is where? In you. Listen carefully. To use the challenges that are without you as an opportunity for his glory. So God is not outside. He's inside. Now as you respond to the one inside, he's going to, so to speak, maneuver you in such a situation until everything on the outside conforms to the glory within. Listen, see what it says. To do of his good pleasure. It says, do all things without what? Murmurings and disputings. Say, I do all things without murmurings, without disputings. Say, I do all things without murmurings, without disputings. Ask anybody, do you murmur this week? Now shall not lie. Did you murmur this week? What price of what commodity went up by your mother? This Nigeria. Just this week. Just this past week. It says, do all things without what? Murmurings and disputings. Look at why. Look at the next verse. It says, that you may be blameless. And look at the line of thought. To be blameless without harmless means there is no room for weakness. There's no avenue to fail. There's no chink in your armor for the glory of God to find expression. That's what he's saying. He says, so that you may be blameless and less, the sons of God without what? Rebuke, no fault. In the midst of what? A crooked and perverse nation. And one whom you shine as what? So the light should not complain. The light should not murmur. The light is the solution. The light has the answer. The light knows what is happening. The darkness is where confusion is. But the light knows what is happening. The light has God working within him. God is working out his good pleasure. The light is following the working. The light is shining the light of that working on the outside. Hallelujah. That's why even in your place of work, there should be a distinction. There should be. While people are murmuring, you are setting a new culture of rejoicing and giving God thanks. You just cut our salary. This company, this man, I don't know what they're doing. Glory to God. We give God praise. Father, thank you. In all things, give thanks. Because something good is going to come out. You see, if you are short-sighted in this season, you will step into mommy and complaining. Everything that comes, why are they treating us like this? No, you see, nobody has custody of your life. Only the Father does. But you can hinder the Father's working by not obeying clearly written instructions in God's word. Do all things without murmurings and what? Disputings. That you may be blameless and harmless. Without rebuke. Sons of God, you are light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. That means that within, where do you meet the crooked and perverse? At your place of work, in your office. Social engagements, you meet them there. And it's a culture that you are meant to have. You are the only one that can count it all joy when you step into those difficulties. Because you must be seen well when they are confused. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, sometimes victory is delayed in situations because you are not acting like who you are. So you are not allowing the DNA to play out the way it's meant to play out. Because there's no way they put you, you will thrive. You didn't hear me. There's no way they put you, you will thrive. If you allow the grace of God to find expression, you will thrive. So go back to Peter now. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 7. Casting all your care, or let's read from verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you be what? Subject one to another. Be clothed with what? Humility. For God resists the proud. And what? Give a grace to the humble. When you hear God resists the proud, he's not talking about an active activity. Let me use a, I'm going to give you a better word. What he's saying is there's a disposition in God. When it comes to the workings of God's power and the operation of God's word, it automatically doesn't give room for pride. Because if any man may boast, let him boast in this, that he knoweth me, that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. So the workings of God's power has no place for pride. Pride automatically opposes the workings of God's power. That's what it says. See what it says next. It says, humble yourselves therefore under what? The mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. Notice the phrase, due time. Can you see what due time? Listen carefully. Leave that here. Remember what we just read in James. James says, let patience have his what? Perfect work, that you may be complete and entire, lacking what? Nothing. What is James saying? Due time. What is due time? Only God determines what due time is. You contribute by ensuring the process is complete. Let me say it again. In the process of working out your faith, you know you complain. You know how easily you get discouraged. You know the exclamations you make in the process. You know the disappointment you show and how things are going, you know. Now, the time comes when your trust in God is so absolute based on experience that all those things are being refined out of your life. Let me say it again. You no longer join those who are complaining. You find that consciously and unconsciously, your confession is consistent. Your response in joy is not something you put on to impress people. It's something that's now become your default mode. You are entering due season. Are you following this morning? So due season is something you have something to do with respect to when it will manifest. Because it's let that patience, that consistency. So I'm consistent in rejoicing. I'm consistent in declaring God's word. I'm consistent in my faith, even though things outside don't look the way I want them to look. I'm consistent. It says the work has to be done on the inside before you expect it to happen where? On the outside. Hallelujah. If every single challenge that comes up, every little form of disappointment, you throw in the towel, you are extending due time. You're not ready. And here's one thing. You have to pass God's class. There's no double promotion. You can't skip a class. The reason is because as a father, God is training us in order for his purpose through us to find expression. So James says, let patience have his perfect work. So that you may be perfect and I want nothing. Peter says, humble yourselves, honor the mighty hand. Now, you are the one who does the humbling. You know God's hand is mighty. Say God's hand is mighty. Say there's nothing that God's hand can do. I mean, even another of God's hand. What's another word for God's hand? Right hand. What's right hand? Sorry? Resurrection. What's resurrection? What's resurrection? When they came together in Acts chapter 4, they went to their own company. How did they pray? That you stretch forth your hand. What's God's hand stretched forth? God's spirit. God's spirit. Resurrection, you are correct. Father's right hand, you are correct. What did we get from all that? God's spirit. Say amen. Say God's hand is mighty. Say God's spirit is mighty. They are the same thing. And notice, humble yourselves under the hand that can make all things possible. Let me say it again. Humble yourself under the hand of the one who can make all things work. Is that making more sense now? So humble simply means submit to what he has outlined. Submit to what he has said. Do it the way he has prescribed it, because there is nothing he cannot work out. But you need to submit. So humility is so letting go of what you previously knew that you try to use to embrace what he says to do. That's humility. Let me say now. So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you when the process is complete. That's due time. Look at next verse. Casting what? All your care upon him, for he care for you. Now be sober. Be what? So this is you and God, the first few verses. This is you and the world from verse 8. Are you following? From verse 5 to this place is you and God. From verse 8, it is you and what? The world. Because what is about to say, again, read the scriptures together. Be sober. Be alert. For your adversary, that's the devil, going about as what? A roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. How is he going about? Through the activities of men. Has he knocked on your door before? And introduced himself. So when you're going about, that's Peter's language. Paul will say, for we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. But against principalities, against powers, against what? So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we meet flesh and blood. So the operations of the devil is through what? Flesh and blood. That boss at the office, that's this gone dude, individual. So to look at men and get into the flesh, that Satan has succeeded in getting you. You know, it's the phrase you say, they got you. So he has get you. Once you now, so to look at the activities you're seeing. So your boss at the office, your co-worker, the person that's working for you, the one that's above you, you are going to see the activities. Say be sober means that don't fall for deception. Be sober. For your adversary goes about. He is seeking whom he may devour, means he can't devour just anyone. Whom resists steadfast where? In the what's the faith? God cares for me. God cares for me. Say, God cares for me. I wish you could say it 1,000 times. Some saints need to say, God cares for me 1,000,000 times. Because the way they think, every single challenge, they just forget about God's faithfulness. It's like God is not faithful again because of this challenge. The one that helped Abraham, helped Isaac, helped Jacob, raised up Jesus from the dead, is no longer faithful because of his situation. They stole your car. They didn't steal your life. They didn't steal your life. So the issue is, what's your response is the issue. So you have to be sober, you have to be vigilant. That's what he says. He says you have to resist steadfast in that faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. It's not unique to you. Not everybody is talking out or coming publicly to tell you what they're experiencing, but everybody is experiencing one thing or the other. Glory to God. So you are to be steadfast in the faith. You are to resist steadfast. What is the faith? He cares for me. Say, he cares for me. Say, he cares for me. So the situation should never make you conclude that God has abandoned you. Let me say it again. When you have God's word, or God shows you a vision, or you have an assignment from God, all you see is what he wants you to do. What you don't see is the steps it will take to get there. How many of you know what I'm talking about? What you will not see is the thing. So nobody usually likes the steps, because the steps will not look like the dream. What are you meant to do? Let patience have its perfect work, so that you may be one complete and entire. You lack what? Nothing. That's what he's saying. Let me give you an illustration. Genesis 37. So let's look at Joseph. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to be fast. How many of us read the Old Testament or Holy Scriptures? Let me see your hand. You read. At least you have read my book of Bible stories before. Hallelujah. Some of us are still using our minds today for some images. In my mind, I still see the plant that's covered Adam like this. And this thing I was doing on the apple tree. It's apple tree that they drew there. I don't know. The one I read in 1988 is yellow. It's yellow like this with red print. So it's red. That's red. That's the image is here. Yes. The image is still here because the way they drew that thing, before you can leave the image in your mind. So a snake can talk. They now said, but because of the fall, snakes no longer talk. Brothers and sisters, snakes have never talked. They will never talk. Hallelujah. All right, so verse 3, I'm going to read very fast. Just follow. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and they made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and would not speak peaceably unto him. The word hate actually means they envied him. Okay? So, notice. And Joseph dreamed a dream. So, the experiences with God started at an early age. He dreamed a dream and he told it to his brethren and they hated him yet the more. So, you're like a young believer. You have having experiences. You don't yet know how to keep God's secrets. You see everything you see. You will learn by force. Pay attention now. So, you see? He said unto them, "Here I pray you this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheep in the field. And lo, my sheep arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheep stood round about and made obeisance as to bow down to my sheep." And his brethren said to him, "Shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for what? His words. Look at verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream. He was a dreamer. Okay. So, and told it to his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father did what? Rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed?" So the father knew the meaning of the dream. But the father did something. He rebuked him before them all. But remember that the father was a patriarch. So he was a man of God. Say amen. The father did something. He rebuked him publicly. But you notice what the father did next. Listen. He says, "Shall I and your mother," so the stars, the sun and the moon, Jacob and his what? Wife. 11 stars. His 11 what? Brothers. So he says, "Who bow ourselves to thee to the earth?" And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the saying. The word of sabbath means that he kept it secret. He kept it and began to look forward to what God, because he knew from God's dealings, his own interaction with his own father, how God comes. In Joseph's life, it was through dreams. God was planning something. Joseph was close to the last born. In fact, it was shortly after that, Benjamin last born was born. So there were 11 people ahead of him. Joseph would have been the 12. Do you understand so far? Now, there's something here that you may not quickly notice. He said, "The sun and the moon." By the time this dream came to pass, the moon was absent. We won't go into that today. Who is the moon here? Who is the moon here? By the time this came to pass, the wife was dead. So that means it wasn't God's plan for her to have died. Okay, so put that somewhere. Now, it says that, you get that? Okay, so it says, "It's when I went to feed their father's flock." Now, I can't go through everything, but here's what happened. He was sent to go and inspect them. And because of their envy, things began to work. What did God show him? The sun, the moon, 11 stars with what? Bow. Now, here's the problem. The sun, the moon, and 11 stars are meant to bow, isn't it? And the father said, "Are you seeing me? Your mom, your brothers will bow unto you." So the brothers went into action. What was God's plan? That this man, this young man, will have an inheritance. And one day, part of interpretation is that his family will have to bow in reverence to him. But here's the issue. He is loved by his father. His father loves him so much, his father will not allow him to leave his side. His father sent him on an errand to go out to his brothers. His brothers took him with the intention of killing him. But one older brother came on the scene, rescued him and told them, put him in a pit. Another one came and said, "Let us sell him to this group of people who are traveling." Now, here's the issue. For that dream to come to pass, it cannot come to pass in his father's household. But here is Joseph, who doesn't want to leave father's household. Are you following him? He doesn't want to leave. So, did the brothers hate him? Yes. Did God make the brothers hate him? No. Did God use the hatred of the brothers to work something out? Yes. Are you following? So did God use that hatred to work something out? Yes. Where is the dream going to be fulfilled? In another land. Where are you in this land? So how do we get to the other land? Since you have no intention of leaving, and God doesn't want to let you go, we will use whatever means possible. Even the hatred of men can be turned to God's good. So, Joseph, you don't have control over the events in your life, but God has control. As long as you stay faithful to consent to God. So, do you think it's a coincidence they sold Joseph? They sold Joseph to somebody who sold him to Potiphar, who was a captain of the king's house. How much of a coincidence is that? And Joseph was in Potiphar's house. And he was a prosperous man, a slave. That's the first time the Bible was using the word prosperous. A slave was called prosperous. And what the Bible was calling prosperity, for God was with him. And he was a slave. The slavery does not look like God's plan. But the prosperity was a confirmation of God's plan. What does it mean to prosper? Potiphar saw that everything that Joseph touched was working. And yet he was a slave. It became so obvious that Potiphar did not have control over what was in the house. He handed entire control to Joseph because he saw that whatever Joseph did, what one? Prospered. Glory to God. And when you get to, I want you to read the chapter. I just want to bring out a few points so that you see something. Because Joseph is a patriarch. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is what? The evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders, including Joseph, they gave a good testimony. By that same faith, we understand that the worlds that they live in, their dispensation, was framed by the word of God. So that the things which we saw them do is a testimony to things that did not appear. Are you following? So there were things that happened in their lives. I had nothing to do with the environment. They were testifying to something that will be seen in Christ. Glory to God. So you have seen yourself in a dream. You've seen that you'll be a ruler, but it cannot happen in your father's house. So then what will happen next? The brother sold you. And it just happened to sell you. So as they were selling you, who was in control of the sale? Who came on the scene where they were about to sell? The person that will go to Potiphar, the captain of the king's guard. So in Potiphar's house, you first practice the grace of God. Everything you touch is prospering. It's working. So what was Joseph doing? Today we'll call it fruit of the Spirit. 1 Peter 2, verse 12. Hallelujah. Let's read from verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as what? Strangers. And what? That you are a pilgrim, you are on a journey. This is not your permanent abode, you're on a journey. So I'm beseeching, I'm appealing to you in the light of the fact that you're on a journey through this world. This is not your final destination. It says you should abstain from what? Fleshly lust that war against God's plan for your life. I'm giving the modern interpretation now. Against the soul. Now look at the next verse. What does that mean? Having your conversation, that's the way you conduct yourself, your behavior, honest among unbelievers. For that whereas they speak what? Against you as what? An evildoer. They may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God what? In the day of visitation. Can you see that? So you should have your conversation. There is a way to behave among the Gentiles because of the grace that you are carrying. That's what he's saying. So Joseph behaved himself properly. And the grace of God caused him to be distinguished, even though through the work of men, he was sold as a slave. So Joseph did not forget the covenant, the plan of God. He stayed with it. And even though he had the room, in fact, he had the opportunity, in fact, as we go on, you see one of the things that happened was that when he interpreted the dream for the baker and the butler, he told the one that was about to release the butler, he said, when you get to the palace, remember me. Tell the king I'm here unlawfully. I didn't do anything. They lied against me. And the Bible says, and the butler forgot. Woo! Who supervised the forgetfulness? God. What was he trying to do? You want to help yourself. Vain is the help of man. The harm of flesh shall fail. So he told them, when you get, that is, I have blessed you. Come and bless me. No, when you bless people, he is the one who will supervise, who will bless you, not that person. This is one of the challenges we have. You help somebody, you are looking to that person's hand for reward. No. God cannot be mocked. Whatever a man sweat, you will reap, but you don't determine where the reaping comes from. So he says, do good to how many? All men. Do good work. You don't wait, because that gets into manipulation. After all I've done for you. After all I've done for you. You were praying with us, that you're praying with her, having prayer meeting. Sisters, be weary of brothers who are having prayer meeting with you. Be weary. They also ask you out. The person you are praying with, it's the natural tendency for you to become close. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So if you are single, you're single, and you don't want anything. Amen. A word is enough for the wise. I'm just telling you, I used to work in those days. Once we are having prayer time together, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, the person you spend time with, it is natural. Attraction will increase. The brother will receive leading. He will receive leading. He will receive leading. That may not be God's plan. God's plan may just be just for this period of time. And so you have to be careful about certain things when it comes to boundaries. But that's what I'm saying. He tried to help. Things were not working pleasantly in line with how you want things to work with respect to when God is helping you. But here you are. You are even living right. And you are prospering in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's wife set his eyes on you. Because you feared God, you obeyed the covenant, and you are not being punished for it. You were put in prison. How would you think? Wouldn't you say God has forsaken me? What was God's plan? The person that would introduce this palace is in prison. But you have not committed any crime. How do we get you into prison? I don't get it. Okay. Okay, you are coming up. Because that the prison is happening doesn't mean God has forsaken you. Is that the problem? The minute things don't, 2 + 2 = 4, you panic. You panic. God has forgotten me. With every, what is the purpose of serving God faithfully if this is what will happen? No, it's still on course. Things are still happening. When Joseph went to prison, due season was not yet. He was still learning. What was he learning? How not to blab. You don't tell everybody God's secrets. You are still learning. How not to open your mouth to retaliate when they slander you. How many of you know it's difficult to keep quiet when you know they are slandering you? How many of you know it's difficult not to take the opportunity to do the same to the person when you're in position? I've seen some skits. You know, the person that rejected your CV and now working somewhere years after. Years after, you are now a big boy. The person now comes looking for employment and you are the big boy handling it. He's like, Chiami, you savage. Did you ever work in social place? Say, yes, sir. You know my history. I know more than your history. bring your CV here, bring it here. You can go. Your CV will never be seen again. You know what's doing? He's doing teeth for that. The person did something 10 years ago, but God has blessed you. You are not where you were 10 years ago. You are to repay evil with good. Not where you are. So here's Joseph now. He could have protested. He just took the suffering quietly. You know, Peter said, after you have suffered a while, it will establish you. It will set you. There are issues you get into. It's not of your doing. It may be by blood relation. It may be by extended family. It's not of your doing. But in as much as you stay consistent in your faith with joy, God will still use that same negative situation to work out his own good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you didn't organize to get to Potiphar's house, who happens to be the captain of the king's guard. You didn't organize for the butler and the baker to drink the same night after they were condemned by their king. And they were in prison and they have to bring them. Within the prison is what you call the king's quarters, where only, so to speak, only prisoners of the king are kept there. And when Joseph got to the prison, the grace was so strong that even the jailer put him in charge of all the prisoners. So even in prison, Joseph was a prosperous man. Hallelujah. It's like you don't like that kind of prosperity. That the prisoner did not, the jail or the head of the, did not take into account the prisoners. It, everything was in the hand of Joseph. That's how, that's kind of managerial grace that was upon Joseph. And I was reading, I asked myself a question. Joseph one morning woke up and saw the butler and the baker. They just had a dream in prison. And Joseph asked him, why is your countenance sad? Excuse me. If you are in prison, how should your face be? No, I'm just asking. Why is your face so sad this morning? We are in prison. This is prison. People's face should be sad in prison. I don't. Why are you asking? Well, okay, how should our face be? You should be having jamboree. That tells you that Joseph was not sad. Hallelujah. Joseph was still joyful in prison. You have to be joyful to notice that other people are sad, though. Because everybody is sad, you know, it's normal. He said, why? We have a dream. Joseph interpreted the dream. When one of them was going, he said that, when you get to the palace, remember me. The man forgot him. Hallelujah. The man forgot him. It was still according to God's plan. Everything was working right. Genesis chapter 41. I'm going to skip many things now. I just want to bring it to somewhere for you to see a pattern. Because again, trying to have control over every aspect of your life is a sign you don't trust him. It's a sign that you actually don't trust him. And the world we live in literally coaches us, teaches us to have a stranglehold over our lives. While we're yet sinners, Christ died. When you didn't know him, he knew you enough to go far to the cross to die for you. Now that you are in him, every tear, every cry, every sorrow, every pain, he knows it more than you know it. And is working something good out. Because there's nothing in the Father but good. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, from the Father of light, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow. He doesn't do partiality. If he helped somebody near you, that you have the same DNA, he will help you too the same way. He doesn't do like this woman. There's no variableness in the shadow of turning. He doesn't do favoritism. That's what men do. I know this thing that happened was Jacob's fault. It was Jacob that had a favorite son. But God still used that favorite son as a lesson to show us how God viewed Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, where are we now? Genesis 41. Because of time, let me see verse 1. Okay, all right, 43. All right, because of time, let's go to verse chapter 45. Let's start from chapter 45, from verse 1, quickly. So this is Joseph unveiling himself to his brethren. Look at what happened. Chapter 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go away from me. And there stood no man with him. While Joseph made himself known unto his brothers. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. So it wasn't a quiet cry. And Joseph said not to his brethren, notice, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? Is my father still alive? And the brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled. They would be troubled. They were the ones who sold him. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And he came near and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me either, for God sent me here. Hey. God sent me before you to preserve life. Who sold him, the brothers? What was Joseph's interpretation? It is not about you selling me. It's about God sending me ahead of you to do what? To preserve your life. Hallelujah. So, who sold Joseph? The men. Who worked it out? God. So, the minute you see those activities, absolute trust in God is to let you know that in God's omnipotence, he can work something out with respect to his own plan and purpose in your life still. It means it's not over until you're doing it well. So when people say things like, it's because of where I was born. No, it's not because of where we are born. You have no control over where you are born. But now that you are in Christ. Hallelujah. The plans of God concerning you are now activated. And if you stay consistent with his word, it will still work everything out in such a way as to bring you out victorious. You don't get to choose the locality you come from, which country. And if people were to choose a country, fill a form, choose a country, even here, right now. I'm not sure we have a third left of this congregation. As a pastor, I'm not sure. And God says, no, you can choose anything you want to. Aha. As you like it. Brethren. What they will choose now? Why? You have no control over that. Look at Psalm 105. Now the prophet now, confirming what Joseph just said now. Look at Psalm 105. Are you getting something this morning? All right. Verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a slave. The man God sent. Look at how many treated the man God sent. He was sold for a slave. Who sold him? They. Who sent him? God. Do the two look alike? No. Now look at the next thing. He said, whose feet they ought with fetters, as a slave, and was laid in iron until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tested him. Until the fulfillment of the dream that he had, the due season came. For what he saw, which is God's word, that which God spoke to him, put his feet to the test. That's what he's saying. He sent them. Look at the next verse. He said, the king sent and what? Loosed him in the ruler of the people. Now here's what I want to see. After the butler's dream was interpreted, two of them, the baker, the butler, he told the baker, your dream means that you no longer serve the king. If 3 days' time, your head will be taken from your shoulders. Butler, you return back to your office. So, when Joseph was so sure, he told the butler, when you go back, remember me and speak of me to the king. If the butler had remembered, the best the help of man could do was to bring him out of prison and return him to slavery. Because he came to Egypt as a slave. But when due time came, from prison to palace, choose one. Why did he need to stay more? You are still trying to help yourself. Because no matter what you do, you can never make Pharaoh to dream. Only God gives dreams. And it's not yet time for Pharaoh to dream. So, butler and baker, their dream is a test run. You're learning how to interpret dream, which is what I will use to elevate you, but you're still learning. Hallelujah. You're still learning. So by the time he was able to interpret, when he came on a national scale, he had enough wisdom. He was a discreet man. He was wise. When interpreted, there is none as wise as you are. That's what Pharaoh said. That we can set up. There is nobody as wise or as discreet. So Joseph had become what? Discreet. You know what it means to be discreet? You don't blab anyhow. And sometimes your problem is you blab too much. You talk too much. You've got secrets. You even let the enemy know what God is planning to do to you. And you hinder God's plan in the process. Joseph was only you tell everything. Enemy will know. How do we get rid of him? But after a while, in prison, he learned. And a man that has been in prison, he knows how to treat people well. How many of you know that? He knows. You know. After 40 years with sheep, Moses was called the meekest man on the head. If you are with sheep also, you'll be meek. They don't talk. Meh. That's what they do. For 40 years. Back to the desert. And you were first of all a prince. Why? He was a willful person. He was the prince of Egypt. He was willful. He was used to political power and influence. He thought he could willfully deliver. God said, not with this one. Go learn. He messed up. He was one who messed up, but God turned the messing up into an opportunity to school him afresh. By the time he was ready, he was one telling God, I'm not ready. God said, that's a sign you are not ready. He just said you are not ready because, or it's true, you are not ready, but I am ready. I'll now do it through you. You cannot be sent because you are now humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God. That means what? Exalt you. And the exhortation that God gave to Moses, Moses was not even prepared for. A sign of humility. Hallelujah. So if the butler had spoken when Joseph wanted it to happen, he would have been released from prison, he would still have been a slave. Because he came to that land as a slave, not as a free citizen. When it was God's timing, God's plan was, and the day that his brothers came and they bowed down, he saw the dream fulfilled. It will be as Pharaoh's right hand in another land. You cannot work that out with human thinking. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, there are patterns and similarities in the dealings of God in our lives based on where we are in different strata of life. That's why the same principle applies, not the same story. The same principle applies. That is, whatever God's going to work out, God's wisdom is too big to be countered by the enemy. So when you see those activities in your environment, don't despair. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel because it will still work something good out of it as long as you stay with him. Say amen. Let me say it again. With God, it's never too late. With God, it's never too late. Go back to that 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Glory to God. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto what is not agreed by Christ Jesus, after they have what? Suffered a while, make you perfect. Do what? Establish you. Do what? It will set you. It will what? It will strengthen and what? It will set to you. That's what it will do. So the suffering in why, like I said, is the interval between what you believed and the manifestation. At the time you're waiting, where sometimes doubt comes to your mind, where things don't look like the way you want it to look, it's called suffering. Because you are in faith, you're suffering. It's called suffering. It's not yet there. The temptation is there to help yourself. Temptation is there to go through corners. So as we begin to look at other preachers, you will see how they denied the flesh, how they refused to go the way of the world. At your office, all you need to do to be a millionaire is to add just one more zero to what they are meant to sign. Others have been doing it. It's now your turn. You have a choice to do the same or to go the highway of God. That is, to ask for the butler to help you or to wait for the king to set you up. You have a choice. I hope you know, understand the analogy I'm drawing. One carries no regret, and nobody can put you down. The other one, they will find out one day. And his grace can be great. Hallelujah. His grace can be great. They will find out one day. You will trip up one day. So there is a hammer of flesh. It doesn't give you. But there is eternal reward when it comes to following Christ. Lift your hands this morning and give him thanks. Don't forget the word of prophecy at the beginning. When that kind of season. Please remember that word of prophecy. We shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. No. It's leading us. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and of evil to give you hope and a future. To give you an expected end. Don't fret. Don't worry. Be anxious for nothing. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The Father has a plan. It's unfolding things and it's for your good. Stop trying to manipulate. It won't work. There's sorrow at the end of the day. Stop trying to, so to speak, work things out by your strength. No. It causes all things to work together for our good as we learn to walk with him step by step. He knows the way ahead better than you know the way behind. So there's where you're coming from. He is more conversant with the steps you're about to take and the path you will follow than the one you've already passed through. He only asks one thing, trust me. That old hymn that we used to sing is still valid today. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to what? To trust and obey. To trust and obey. That means you can't see what he's saying with the eyes of the senses, but your heart is telling you he's trustworthy. He's worthy. He's worth following. He's worth following. That's what he has placed in my heart this season. I've been praying, I'm praying, trying to find out fully. This is the tempo and the templates of the things he's going to do through many this season. That's why you have to now become separate. If you've been used to those kind of practices where you try to help, always cutting corners, you will never taste God's glory when it comes to the natural affairs of life. Because you'll be so used to cutting corners, but the day you taste a little bit of how he elevates and how he promotes, you will never go back again. You will stay with him. You will allow him to be the one that will exalt you, the one that will raise you. Men will always give you a shortcut that will lead to destruction eventually. But with him, as you follow him, as you stay with him, it will lead you and cause you to climb upon the high places by the help of his spirit. Bring you to the fullness of the things that he has planned. But you have to make up your mind. No more cutting corners. No more shortcuts. I'll follow through. I'll follow him all the way. You know what I'm talking about. You know he's been dealing with you in your heart along these lines. As a church, he's dealing with us this season to understand. The places you can't see, you can see it. He just asks that you trust him, that he has gone ahead of you. He will help you. They will bring offers to you in this season. Your rejection of that offer is part of the suffering. Because you know what that offer can do when it comes to solving things for you immediately. But your rejection is part of the suffering. After you've suffered a while, it will perfect you. It will strengthen you. It will settle you. He will say to you, that's what he does. That's what our Father does. And Father, we're grateful this morning. Our hearts are open. We thank you. You are the shepherd of our lives, the bishop of our souls. And so thank you, Father, because the reins are in your hands. No more struggling. Just to obey. Just to trust. Just to walk with you. Just to carry out your bidding. Just to fulfill your purpose. Thank you for opening our eyes to see the wondrous things in your word and guiding us by your spirit, so that every one of us will walk in the glory that your plan has prepared for us. Thank you. We shine this season without fail. Thank you. Christ is exalted through us in all our decisions, because we receive strength and clarity to take the right steps to do the right things. You distinguish us by your grace. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we bless your name, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen.